Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am truly honored and privileged today to have with me the District Attorney of Berkshire County, Timothy Shagrew. But before I get to the District Attorney, just to try to get in the back door of heaven, I have to read this announcement. I've already given up going in the front door. 2025 Bingo, St. Mary's School, 115 Orchard Street, Lee, Mass., Saturday, March 8th, spring dates, 3-8, 4-12, 5-10, 6-14. Doors open at 11, games start at 2. Come and support the children of St. Mary's. Full bingo program, charitable lottery games, all kinds of things going on. Snacks and drinks, must be 18 or older. Come join and have some fun. Any questions, you can call 413-243-1079. Thank you for allowing me, Mr. District Attorney. That helps get me in the back door.
There you go.
So I would ask you what you've been doing, but I don't have to, because it's all over every kind of print journalism in the world. Congratulations on a bunch of very successful raids, and a thank you for working to protect all of us, but most especially those who are vulnerable to addiction.
I appreciate that, but the real thanks goes to the men and women that are on the streets, that put their life on the line every single day. This was a very, very dangerous case. We'll talk about it in a few moments, but the amount of, I don't know if I sent you the photograph. If I haven't, I will.
Yes.
I know you've probably seen it on the news and whatnot. Yep. It was at our press conference. But those weapons with an old Tommy gun, and there was a we got SKS-47, like it's just like an AK-47, a Russian assault rifle with a high capacity magazine on it. We had sniper rifle with tripods. We had
was a 50 cal, wasn't it?
It was a 50 cal. That's right.
And I'm not as old as I look.
Yeah, these are dangerous weapons. And we had high capacity shotguns. We had so many handguns and lots of magazines. It was very, very dangerous, and it was used in the criminal enterprise. It was used in this drug trafficking organization, and this was a very detailed group that came in. So yeah, you don't have to thank me. Thank the men and women that put their lives on the line. I was afraid since the minute they hit that raid on Friday morning. I was nervous all day as I monitor it, from afar, let them do their jobs. And I'm sort of running and talking with them as everything's going on. And I just wanted to get done till 5 o'clock so everybody got home safe, including all the defendants and all the people that were there. This is very complicated. This is very difficult. These are highly dangerous individuals. And to get it done with professionalism, with every single police officer coming home safe to their families, and the defendants also, nobody was harmed, and it was everything peacefully taken down because we did it with such a show of force so that there would be no fighting back, and no mistakes made. This was a very detailed, well-coordinated organization done by members of my state police detective unit, about the Pittsfield Police Department, the North Adams Police Department, the Adams Police Department, and members of the Great Barrington Police Department. So there's a lot of effort, and so I'm very happy that at the end of the day, everybody came home safe.
Well, when I said you are the captain of that team, you're right. The men and women on the street every day, and it's not getting easier. I hope that it will get easier, but it's right now. It's a tough job.
It is, but we are making it safer. I think this is our fifth raid we've done in the 2 years. I've been in 2 years and 2 months. And I told you we're going to come after guns and drugs. And I want you to notice what you don't hear. You don't hear about shootings anymore. Occasionally, we're going to get them. I can't stop everything, but the amount of volume that we had in shootings in 2022, which led me to close my business down and take over and run for this office, because it disturbed me at the time. But that stuff is gone. We're not seeing as much. Do we see some knifings here and there? Sure. And it's probably more than there's been of shootings, because we've taken a lot of guns off the street. And to take 20 guns off the street in this one particular raid is very significant, because I know that we have taken a couple hundred guns off the street in the last 2 years already. And so if we can accomplish that and remove the drugs from the community, and the best thing, Bill, is I think what I really liked about this, and like I told you last year, last year we caught them all with the drugs. not with any money, not with anything else. We caught them all with kilos of cocaine and heroin, and we got them before they hit the streets so that we save lives by doing that. So we're not going to have this. I know people come back and they backfill, they come in, but we made the supply harder to get, and we help out people that have addiction problems in the district court by giving them treatment and getting them into the real substance abuse programs that they need and try to work it on that level. It's a dual process. So, we've been really gearing for that in the last 2 years. So I'm very proud of the fact that these guns are off the street. They're not being used in the criminal enterprise anymore. And I'm also glad that, again, we were able to take this down without any violence, without any shootouts, without anything like that. So I am very proud of how they handle it. Professionalism all the way. It was run first class. These are all warrants signed by judges who reviewed all the probable cause to make sure that these were valid, good arrests. And I'm very proud of the fact of how this went down. I had to sign off on every one of these warrants as we went along. And the judges reviewed each of these warrants as we went forward. And we built this case from an idea in end of September 1st, part of October, to fruition on Friday when we decided we had to hit then because there were just too many weapons out there and the community was... I didn't think the community was safe, so they made a determination.
And they're high-powered. I mean, they're not 22s.
No, they're not. These are high-capacity magazines, high-capacity firearms. So these are very, very dangerous weapons. They're going to take a lot of people out. And these are big, as you indicated, big-caliber bullets. It was a big cachet of guns and being used in the criminal enterprise. You know, so it was. I'm very proud how it went down. It was a lot of work, and these... Yes, people remember too is that these men and women that are out there doing this, they take time from their families. And since October, they're putting in 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
They are working like crazy, to do counter surveillance, to do surveillance, to do, poll cameras, all the type of investigative techniques that we have to do in order to get probable cause to build a case. Just because we hear people maybe selling drugs doesn't mean anything to me until we prove it. And we get probable cause that we can prove beyond a reasonable doubt. So these people, these men and women that worked round the clock, Saturdays, Sundays, took time away from their families for months to build this case. I'm glad that they're home safe and that we can feel, everybody in the community can feel safer and better because a lot of these guns and drugs are off the street. We took over, at the time, it was over $200,000 worth of drugs off the street. As our tally was as last Friday, I can tell you that once we brought the state police Hyde team in, we have now dissected those automobiles and found a significant amount more of heroin and cocaine secreted within those vehicles once we started to tear them apart and finding where the drugs were hidden from the specialized unit that deals for hidden drugs in vehicles. So that's probably, nobody knows that yet. This is probably the first time I'm releasing that
information. Breaking news, everybody, news.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, there were a lot more drugs were in there than we originally thought. I can tell you that we had 700 grams of cocaine. That's a lot of cocaine. We had 320 grams of heroin. It's a lot of heroin. And 300 grams of fentanyl. So you're dealing with a substantial amount of drugs, well over $200,000 street value. Now add to that, I haven't tallied the heroin, but it's a substantial amount, and another substantial amount of cocaine, which will lead to additional trafficking charges for these individuals that are involved in this enterprise. And every one of these people were co-related and somehow involved in this organized crime. This was seriously organized crime. And we were able to get that information, build a case through tedious, hard work of these individuals that, again, works every day, were working long hours and at risk to themselves. So I'm so glad of how it turned out, but there was a lot of work that got us there. And again, this is our fifth one. So we've taken a lot of guns.
It's like, well, I'm glad you're on the program. It's like it's been a week of bam, 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 bam. And which, as a citizen, I'm glad, I was with some folks, and they're just really, they're not happy it's here. What they're happy about is you're going after it. You're going after it in a very professional, methodical way.
Exactly.
And that way they're not going to walk.
That's exactly right. We make sure we build the case first so that the solid cases, most of these cases end up in pleas. Actually, we don't even have to try them because the evidence is so overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of information on phones. We have a lot of information what people have said. We have their records. We know what was going on. We know how the transactions were taking place. But, you know, the community is really responding well to this.
Yes.
I have my office has been inundated with people calling up out of the blue, random cold calls. Calling up saying thank you. I'm getting thank you notes in the mail from just people saying thank you. And that people I don't even know. People I don't even know calling up saying thank you for taking these individuals and these drugs off our street. Thank you for trying to make our community safer. You know, and when I ran and you and I ran into each other on the campaign trail because you're everywhere, I'm everywhere, and we talked about this. And I said, you know, I'm going to do it. And everybody said, dude, you're not going to be able to do it. It can't happen. I said, we're going to do it, just like they said when I did the kids' place. That can't happen. And sure enough, we built it. And that very first week, you remember, I got sworn in on January 4th, 2023. And within a week later, we executed those warrants that we had started before I took office in November that I had worked with the state police on. And we then, at that point, hit those 15 defendants who all had open gun cases, who all had open trafficking cases, who all were out on personal recognizance. They weren't in any bail. We picked all those 15 individuals up. I went to court myself. I argued the bail myself. And they were shocked when they were downstairs in lockup and when probation was talking with them. They said, well, I didn't think you'd get in trouble here. I said, you're a week too late because it's a different game now. And so the reputation we're getting, the word we're hearing on the street from Springfield area else is don't go up the mountains. They're pegging them off at one at a time. That's the reputation I want our office to have. That's the reputation Berkshire County needs to have, that we are not going to tolerate drugs, we are not going to tolerate guns, and we are not going to let our community get taken over by organized crime. So with that, and it's dangerous. And people say I sometimes exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating. You look at those pictures. I'm not exaggerating the amount of drugs. I'm not exaggerating the amount of guns out there. There they are, right in front of your face. That's why I had the press conference look at it. And people are asking, why are you having a press conference? Because I want the community to know we are making them safer so they can feel safer.
Yes.
Because 2022, with all those shootings that were going on, that you know, that some 25, 30 shootings that year, you're not hearing that anymore. Why aren't you hearing that anymore? Because these men and women have got a big bounce in their step. They like working. They like doing what I'm doing. I love the work ethic they have. So as a team, we're working together. But again, they're the ones doing the work. I'm the ones that is sort of running this and then prosecuting it with my assistant DAs. And I have to also thank all my assistant DAs in this office who worked diligently in the last 3 months reviewing those warrants, making sure there's probable cause, making sure that everything, their I's were dotted, the T's were crossed, and they spent an inordinate amount of time working on these cases. So it is a big team win from lawyers and ADAs right on down to, you know, people that were assisting us in the investigation. And a shout out to ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, who gave us the vehicles and the other materials we needed in order to effectuate such a large-scale search warrant. Now, you have to understand, Bill, and I don't want to keep taking the whole conversation, but we had to take down 14 houses, three mobile cars, and six people we had to search individually with that. And so with our departments, and even with Pittsfield and North Adams and Adams, we needed outside resources. This also reached to Lowell. We took down the house that where the drugs were coming from in Lowell. We did that with the Lowell Police Department in conjunction with our detectives. So we reached all the way out to Lowell. We did that last year. We reached out to Springfield, to Island Pond Road, where we picked up 500 grams of cocaine down there. So we're reaching out to where the sources are. So the amount of coordination to do all that.
Oh, yes.
Bring all these troopers and people say, well, we had these, you know, 12 cars sitting out there. Where do you want to put them? We had to put them. We put them as far away we could, which is behind the Cheshire School, behind the town hall. But people noticed it, and everybody thought it was ICE. Well, it wasn't ICE. It was us effectuating a large-scale drug trafficking network that we were able to take down by surprise and without confrontation. So, again, it was a lot of work and effort that went into it. The state police, as you saw in the press conference, we had the major, the detective colonel out here. You know, we had the detective captain out here. We had the high brass from the Boston area coming out here because they were so impressed. The amount of work that my troop is upstairs and the Pittsfield Police and the North Adams and Adams Police and Great Barrington Police did.
Well, you know, too, I'm glad you did take that and describe it, because I've done a few raids in my career, and I remember we had two simultaneously going because we knew one would tip the other, and so we had a. But I will say this to the audience: the coordination, the planning, but most importantly, in my humble opinion, the execution of the warrants. No one was shot. No one was hurt. No gunfire. And look at the multitude of evidence. So I mean, I don't want to embarrass you, but you got a guy in the seat now that knows what he's doing. He's been on both sides of the bar. He was a defense attorney. He was a prosecutor, and he's very experienced. And he's bringing in his first assistant, was a U.S. attorney. I saw her the other day crossing the street. I was going to blow the horn, but I didn't want to scare her. but when you look at the cases, now, he's been DA 2 years?
2 years, 2 months.
Two years, 2 months. If you look at the cases, the complexity of the cases that they have gotten guilty verdicts or pleas on, then I'll tell you, I think we're in good hands.
Yeah, we had.
But that's
a big
not
one.
To say we got to use our head too. Not walking down an alley at midnight. So
right.
Kind of.
And we you know, that's what's good about this community, that they do speak out and they do let us, but we have to build our cases. And sometimes people are impatient because we're in a situation in the world right now. Everybody expects instant gratification. Everything has to be done like yesterday. They think it's TV.
That's exactly right. Oh, they did it in 60 minutes.
CSI factor. Yeah, we have the CSI factor. Everybody thinks we have all this evidence. It's not television. We don't have all that kind of evidence when we try cases. And it's difficult to try cases. It's not unloaded DNA everywhere you find it. It doesn't just show up everywhere. It's not as easily ascertainable as people think. So it's a lot of work to build these cases. That last year when Rachel Arama from my office, an assistant DA, tried that Tyler Sumner case, what a very, very difficult case. And get a first-degree murder conviction on that. But an individual that we had very few witnesses that were willing to cooperate. But we got, luckily, we the police did such a great job. We had a glove that had the defendant's DNA on the inside and gun residue on the outside, and we were able to prosecute that case to its fullest extent. And we've had a great string of murder successes last year. We have a lot of murder trials that are scheduled for this year. I think we're almost done getting rid of the backlog that existed when I walked into this office. But at the same time, too, we are doing so many other things. We have a huge organized retail crime conference coming up in April. In D.C. working on organized retail crime. So we're dealing with that. We had the big opioid summit we had in the fall that coordinated, run by our office, that brought all the silos, all the addiction experts in there so that we can work on the addiction issue as well. Because remember, I keep telling you about this. We're talking about this big, arrest the other day for the people on the streets that are selling drugs. But I'm also working on how to get people off of the drugs, stopping the cycle and getting them help and getting them treatment. Because if we stop people wanting to use the drugs and the need to use the drugs, that will stop the need for having them come in there. But in the meantime, I'm going to make it harder for people to get the drugs because I'm going to make it so it's not easily accessible. And these trap houses, Bill, they bring people in, they get them hooked on drugs, and they have them in there. They'll sell drugs for them. They'll use there. And they have video equipment inside these apartments, so they watch what these underlings are doing. So it was a very organized effort for these individuals. But we
professional both. Criminals.
Professional criminals.
It's an awful – but every career field has its professionals. These – when you get to that kind of sophistication – these are professional criminals. These kinds of weapons, these video and all that kind of stuff. And the other piece that I think your team needs to, if I may, give a gold star to, it's an old Catholic school thing. You got a gold star on your head if you did something. I never got any, but other kids did. the level of surveillance and all that was never spotted. Goal starter. Goal starter. Every person on your team. Goal star.
That's right. You know, they did. We thought at one point there was an overdose on a case, and we thought we might lose the investigation because one of the individuals that was involved in the investigation had an overdose, and the individuals that had supplied him the drugs, we knew who they were, and we were working on this wiretap, and that didn't expose it. So the fact of the matter that these police officers really secreted themselves so well and did such a great job. And you have to realize, too, these individuals are changing phones all the time. They're changing tactics all the time. They're driving around different routes and stuff. But the patience and the level of dedication that these officers showed to do
and
that.
And professionalism.
Very, very, very professional. Very professional. And that's what, I'm proud about how everything was taken down. It wasn't taken down in some big show of force. No, we took down, we had to enter the buildings, but we had to enter the buildings for security and safety purposes. But once in there, everybody was handled peacefully and appropriately, and they were placed under arrest. And now I'm very pleased with the judiciary, the amount of bails that they have established on each of these.
Yeah.
The lead one was $200,000 cash bail, and his bail was revoked. Most of them, $150,000, $100,000, one's $125,000. The bails were significantly high because these are people at flight risk that, again, they come into
community.
And we're really trying to, you know, to poison. These are not citizens of Berkshire County. They came into here. And these people that are trying to, you know, poison our community. And I can't let that happen because these are our kids, you know, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds. These are people that, you know, may fall into the throes of addiction and with underlying issues. We need to help them. And we're doing that in the district court level by helping the addicts. But it doesn't help unless I try to eliminate the dealers coming in here as well, and especially when they're getting so established that they're bringing in heavy, heavy equipment, which is the weapons that we saw.
They're war weapons.
You say drug on war. This was a war. I mean, there's no question about it.
I have personally seen what a 50 caliber sniper rifle can do.
Yeah,
and you don't want to be on the receiving end of that.
Right. Now, imagine these police officers, they're doing surveillance and they've got to worry about a sniper rifle coming at them.
Right.
It really is, in this situation, a war. And you know, that's why when people say defund the police, these police officers need to be funded so they can appropriately and adequately handle a dangerous situation without being militaristic, but using it as you know, a lot of people didn't see, you know, these big armored vehicles coming in there. No, we came in and did it the right way. And executed these warrants against, they were signed by judges, so we had probable cause, and effectuated these arrests. Professionalism and just the coordination was tremendous. And we're dealing with the state police, not just Pittsfield and my detectives. We're dealing with the STOP team. We're doing the special response team, other state police members. We're dealing with Pittsfield's team that responds to. Yeah. Special tactical situations. So we're using all those groups all together and coordinated on top of that with local police, with Pittsfield Police, North Adams Police, Adams Police, and members from the Great Barrington Police Department. So when you, and members that I gotta say this, members of the Sheriff's Office, a number of members of the Sheriff's Office that were involved in the investigation that were on the scene that day as well. And again, the sheriff was in tune with all this. We kept him apprised as well. And he's always a partner and assists us well with these types of investigations. We couldn't do it without his effort as well. But, we get to...
They're handling some... This is a kind of a... they can do it. I've been all over the world. This jail is capable of doing it. But it's a kick up in the level of the type of inmate that they're used to handling, you know.
It's not a kid got
grabbed for some dope. These people, they're as sophisticated in the joint as they are outside of the joint. And I know our Sheriff Bowler guys can handle it. And
they can. They can. It's a different breed. I mean, years ago, the House of Correction, where the smaller crimes that people came through, the OUIs and on those lines. Now we're holding people for trials in the state prison system. They'll eventually end up in the state prison, but they're housed here first. And they're dangerous individuals that the sheriff is adequately and appropriately handling over there. But this is a new breed of criminals that we see that are being housed at the House of Correction. But again, his department is first rate.
Yeah, he's got good people. He's got Jason Kyle, he's got people, really good
Yeah,
people.
Jason Kelly, yep.
But sometimes you just got to tell them, or they know. But I feel that I have to say, I dealt with the worst of that. I dealt with the Aryan Brotherhood and the Mandingo
Yeah.
Warriors, Mexican Mafia, Nuestra Familia. But when I saw that transition from what we used to call convicts, the transition to inmates, and the transition encompassed all of these new gangs and all this. And
Yeah.
what you just busted up was a major drug trafficking, I'm going to say,
Absolutely.
organization slash gang.
Absolutely. Biggest one, I think, in a while. I think it
A
was
long while.
and it took a lot of patience, and we were prepared to go longer if we had to, but it came to fruition on Friday, and that was when we decided that it was time to take it down. And it went, like I said, again, very successfully. But I tell people, nobody thanks these police officers enough. If you see them, thank the people that are putting their lives on the line to protect you as a citizen, protect me, and protect everybody in our community. They
Right.
work so hard, and oftentimes people don't realize that just how dedicated they are to this job, and how concerned they are about how they handle themselves with defendants, how they handle themselves with the public and the community. They're very cognizant of that, and I'm proud of that as well. We have a very what I consider a police department that works. Understanding that there are people that need help as well, and not just
That's
criminals.
right. And
So you're not just involved.
before we go to end the break, we got about 3 minutes to break. I want to say this. I've said it in the past. I want to say it again. This Timothy Sugrue, the district attorney of Berkshire County, was also a defense attorney and worked with kids and people who were addicted. When he came to the job, I know some of the scuttlebutt was, oh, he's going to bring in a hammer and blah, blah, blah. Well, he's brought in the hammer, but he's hammering the people who need to be hammered, and he's working with to help the people who need to be helped. Now, he's got all kinds of programs going, intervention. He's working with people. He's held seminars to train others to think in a holistic way. If you have to have a hammer, you have to. Who said it? Walk softly and carry a big stick. There he
Yeah,
is.
Teddy Roosevelt. Yep.
Teddy Roosevelt. There he is, right there. He's got the big stick, but he's also got the compassion. And I think, and if I may, I think your time as a defense attorney really opens your eyes to the other side of the bar.
No question. I think that is imperative. I think every DA, I wish they all would have both sides to it, because you have compassion for this family's behind these individuals that get into the throes of addiction. There's people like their families are getting ruined because of addiction. And when I was in private practice, I worked with those families to help them get
Yes, you
their
did.
children or their loved ones off of drugs, brothers and sisters, help them get them off drugs, help them get them clean, and then rehabilitating their reputation and getting them back to work, getting them their driver's license, getting them health insurance, and then getting them so that they're productive members of society, because that's the only way to stop recidivism. So we know that we have to work on that level. And we're doing that in the district court all the time. As I always say, that's the people's court. We work with addiction issues there. But when we're dealing with people that are hardened criminals who are not addicts, that are business people,
Upstairs.
yep, you're going right to Superior Court. And when you deal with those individuals that I know are really destroying our community, I have to root them out. And that's just it. It's just there's, and I want the reputation being, don't come here, sell drugs. Don't come here to steal from our stores. Don't come here to commit crimes, because we're not going to tolerate it. The public's not going to tolerate it. So with that work together, if we work with the public, everybody does that, we can succeed on keeping the bad element out. And then work on our addiction issues and mental health issues to help the people that have made mistakes. The district court is a court of mistakes. These are not criminals. These are people that find themselves in district court that normally wouldn't. A lot of middle class, and they end up getting throes of addiction. We need to help those people out, because we can get them back to work. I was able to do that in private practice. I want to do that as a DA as well, to help people get off of the drugs, get into treatment, and get back to work so they're productive members. No addict wants to be an addict. I'll tell you that right now. after dealing with it for so many years. This is my 39th year in law enforcement and on both sides. And
Yeah.
so I know how hard it is to get off addiction. I know that they don't want to be addicts. They want to be clean. They want to get off it. I'm trying to find all the tools I can possibly get and apply them to help people get off that addiction so it breaks the cycle, so there's not a need for these drug dealers to come into town. But I'm not naive. I know that there is that drive. And so the other way to do it is do two prongs. One, get rid of the drugs. One, to deal with the addiction.
Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break. I am honored and privileged to have with me, and I mean this, and I committed to the DA when he got elected that I would have him on once a month. Now, I'll have him on every week if he keeps this up, because I want people to know, and we've got a great audience, and I want to say that too. The Polish Princess and I, have, over the past week, have been stopped so many places and asked, are you the one lady sent her daughter up? I was at the Highland restaurant and they came up. Are you the guy on the radio? And because I had my stocking hit, my little ball says freezing all the time. And I said, yes. And the lady came up and she said, I start my day watching your show. And you know, that puts a burden on me because once before I had a lady when I was doing a call-in show. Call in and say, you know, I'm a shut-in. My kids don't live close by. I was on 3 hours then. You're my connection with the outside world. And, you know, I never forgot that. And I don't forget what this other lady told me. I'm not doing it to blow me up. I don't care. But I want people like him to be able to come on this show and put it out there as it is. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR. FM on your radio station. We are also broadcasting now in Southern Berkshire. So we're almost a whole county. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Please, we got a lot more to cover with the DA.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. Yes, we are. I have, and it's an honor, and I mean this. I say it, but some people, it is an honor and a privilege for me to have them on. The district attorney of Berkshire County's been a little busy, in case you don't catch up with the news. And I promised him when he came on, as I said, I'd have him on once a month. And I've kept my promise, and he's been on, and the input afterwards from the public, from you, the listeners and viewers, is unbelievable. So thank you for that. I'm sure he thanks you. But there's still more work to do. And he's out there doing it. And I want him to just take, if you would be so kind, sir, is to take 1 minute. It's like you can take as long as you want. You're the DA. But and tell me, listen to this retail crime syndicate thing that they're breaking up. I mean, I can remember a friend of mine going into Nichols's Variety Store on Vacona Street and stealing a 5-cent bag of potato chips. And it was like a huge deal. Dude, you'll go to jail. He didn't go to jail. We ate the potato chips and we lived through it. But then we all had to go to confession. But you're doing a great job with that.
Yeah, well, those aren't the cases that we're going after. Those aren't the cases we're prosecuting. The
shoplifting,
that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for these people that are taking, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars stealing from our stores. And you know who pays for those at the end? You and I pay for that.
Yeah.
The general public pays for it. And the amount of theft that's coming in there. I have developed an incredible organized retail crime. And now we've gone into elder fraud and into bank fraud. And we've sort of expanded and insurance fraud. We have a whole bureau on that Jim James Hall runs for my office. And
oh,
that's
cool.
Expanding. On April 14th, we're having a huge, with all national leaders, we're having a huge training up at BCC for 250 people. It's
wow.
Going to sell out. It's been up for like 4 days. We're already close to 100 already.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be run by, we've got, I think, four national speakers, and my second assistant, Kelly Kemp, will be speaking at it as well. We're dealing with organized retail crime. It's not the story you're just, you know, kind of joking about, the candy bar and the chips. These are hardened people that come in. They're organized. They're coming in from Romania.
Yep.
They're coming in from Asia. These are very organized individuals who sometimes human traffic by getting addicts to go in and steal for them. But it's a very complicated scheme. We've worked very closely with all the stores. I think I have 60 stores in Berkshire County alone, all signed up under our organized retail crime group. And we meet quarterly and have at the BIC Center, and we go over the scams that are coming up. And we meet monthly particularly in Pittsfield, we meet with the Pittsfield Captain Kirshner, and we meet with members of the Pittsfield Police Department, and we deal with what are the trends happening now? What's going on? What can we help you with? So we have that access and availability, so all the retailers can come to a meeting anytime they want. This one we're having on April 14th is going to be huge. I went to one in Boston in October. I expect ours to be larger than that. Wow. In fact, we're inviting all the DAs and everybody across state to attend it. But I expect it's going to be sold out. But that's important, because what we're doing is we're getting ahead of the organized retail crime syndicates. We're getting ahead of the people that are coming in and using three members or more trying to steal from stores. And people don't realize that they'll see one person stealing, but there's usually a driver and there's usually a distractor. So
yeah.
Those three individuals, that makes it organized retail crime, and that makes it a 10-year felony. So if you got three people or more, normally that's what we're seeing coming out of Marshalls or coming out of Ulta's and taking these big amounts of – just walking out the stores with carriages full of stuff. We've stopped that, and I think that it's
yeah.
We're doing a great job of that. We're going to get the thefts, but we stay on them. As soon as the theft comes out, they report to us. We've also – we've now joined New England State Police, the New England State Police Organized Crime Unit, it's actually NESPIN. I can't think of what the acronym actually stands for, but we've joined with them so we can video enhance. They can list the videos we have and find the defendants on their database, because we keep all these videos so we can identify who the suspects are, and we're catching them and we're getting them. It may take us a little bit of time to catch them, but we're getting them, and we're stopping a lot of thefts. The stores are telling me they're seeing the theft rate go way, way down. And that was a big thing I ran on during the campaign too, is because it was disturbing to me that everywhere you go, you walk into a store and someone's walking around with carrots full of merchandise.
Yeah.
And then, a few years ago, the retail industry of America didn't really want to be involved with this stuff. Now they've partnered with the National District Attorneys Association, of which I'm a member, and which I used to teach for years ago. And that's what I was down in D.C. for last week. We've now partnered with them and the Retail Industry Leaders of America. It's called RILA. And now all those stores, CVS's, the Targets, the Walmarts, the Home Depots, they all belong to RILA, Marshalls and Home Depot Home Goods. They all belong to that. They are now working with us because their theft rate was astronomical. I think I told you 2022, Walmart was 1.6 million in Pittsfield.
I couldn't believe it.
1.6 million. Can you imagine that? 1.6 million.
In Walmart. Little Pittsfield.
In little Pittsfield.
So, again, folks, I don't mean to belabor this. You got a guy that's on the horse, and he's riding it. And he can be as soft if you need to be soft, and he can be as hard as heck. So, but Little Pittsfield, so what the amount again? How
1.6
much?
Million in 2022. And they've told me already that they see a significant drop down. But it's not me, it's my team. It's really everybody else that I'm working with. And it's the police department as well. So law enforcement agencies. They're working with me, with my lawyers, and with my organized retail crime group with James.
A team.
Yeah, and we coordinate. It's really to be more organized and more coordinated than they are. I got to give a big shout out to James Hall again because he does such a great job organizing all that, yeah. Getting all the stores together. He's traveled to Dallas. He's going. I think he's going back to Dallas this year. He goes down to Connecticut. He goes to Boston. He's getting all the scams that are out there. We're identifying them. We're notifying the local businesses beforehand, the skimmers. We've told them how to get skimmer protection devices on this so that they go on top of the skimmers so skimmers can't be implemented into them. So there's ways we can do it. And now we're educating the elderly because the elderly abuse is really hard when it comes down to the frauds because a lot of these are from out of the country. So we have to educate the public on what not to do and what to be careful for. You know, the things where someone has a computer and all of a sudden it says, oh, you got malware on there. Just click on this and we'll get rid of it for you. No, don't click on that because 9 out of 10 times that is going to be people call you. They're not going to just they'll be in touch with you. Not that way. You don't click a button because they can click a button and take everything off your computer, all your passwords, and steal all your accounts. So we're trying to educate the public. We did that in the fall with our fraud, elderly fraud. I did the presentation to North Adams and Atlantic. The problem is, it's just only so many hours in a day, and you know I'm working seven days a week a lot of these weeks, so it gets a little daunting. But I have a great team, and the team's doing that. And we had this vision, and we also had people forget. I had to correct and readdress a lot of the issues within the office because it was not where it needed to be. And so I have professionalized the office. I've organized it. You know, the human resource portion is done. All the internal controls are done. I asked for an audit. That's just being completed. That was finally, I asked that the minute I got elected. Yeah. I want to see what's there. I want to make sure that we're doing things the right way. So there's other things part of the job that I have to handle as well. But, you know, the downside too is that I was a trial lawyer, and I'm not in the courtroom as much as I would like to be, but I've realized now my role as a, you know, not just a leader, but as a teacher and as a, you know, a coach more than a player
overall.
Yeah. But I'm still keeping a few of those cases that I want to do.
Good.
It's just harder to do them because I'm also, you know, smart enough to know that when I have ADAs that are assigned to it, they can spend their entire time on that. When I'm doing multiple other things, I've got to be able to make sure I delegate. And one of the hardest things to do as a professional, and any successful professional will tell you this, is to be able to delegate and be able to lead people. It's not an easy task, but I have a great team. And as you said, I just added a new Superior Court prosecutor that has, you know, 15 years of experience in prosecution and another 10 years in defense work. He just started 2 weeks ago. So that's going to be in Superior Court. But another really what I consider a real high quality lawyer that we've just added to the office, and we've got a few more that I hope that we're going to be picking up in the next few weeks. So we are making what I consider one of the best law offices in Western Massachusetts. That was the goal. Yes. We want to do.
You won some huge cases. You won.
Yeah,
not easy. I'm not a lawyer, but I've been in the career field for over 50 years. Some of the cases that you've had, that was lawyer skill.
It is. And we still run it. The problem we still run into is people still think that there should be all the CSI. We had a jury question on a trial a couple of weeks ago, and they're like, well, they're looking for CSI information. Is there DNA? Is this kind of stuff? So you have the evidence that you have. There was some physical evidence in this particular case. But they think that everything's got physical evidence on it. It just doesn't exist that way. It's impossible to collect that stuff. Stuff gets destroyed rather quickly. It's not that easy. So we try to educate the public that it's not television. This is not CSI. We're not going to solve this in 1 hour. We're not going to have 15 pieces of facial recognition data and all this type of stuff that they talk about with DNA and everything. You know, it's just, it doesn't exist that way. It's just reality.
Two quick things. When I used to teach at the Department of Justice NIC Academy, I would teach management and supervision and training. But the one thing that I would, and you can maybe use this, when I taught a delegation, delegate, follow up, follow through, but never do. Because if you do, they'll never learn.
That's right. That's all right. You've got to let people learn on their own. I said, you got to make mistakes. We make mistakes. We correct them. You know, it's just
how we learn.
That's how we learn. And we're in a business where we're exposed. A trial lawyer is exposed all the time because you're in there, you're making, quick decisions, on the spur of the moment. And you've got to think back to everything you've learned all these years. And that's why experience means so much. You've seen it. We just become, you have what I call muscle memory. You've done it so many times that you know it. And, when I need to know an injection, I know it just because it's natural. So, and that's why I'm filling this office with full of people that are, first off, that are experienced and have loads of trial time behind them. But I'm also bringing new lawyers in and training them and teaching them and sending them on conferences and sending them on trainings nationwide. I'm building those lawyers up to become, the next level of Superior Court. But the district court, the young lawyers that are learning and they're doing a hell of a job. I'm very proud of all of them. I'm very proud of this office.
I think you have a right to be proud. But quickly going back to the scene, I remember years and years ago, there was one of the detective shows on, and they said, they had a rock. And they said, hey, we got fingerprints off the rock.
You and I know that's impossible.
Yeah. But what do you hear about these South American gangs?
Well, the Venezuelan group, we knew that they were coming in to organize retail crime. They're a big group. Jim Hall, again, identified them. And we're looking for, we know the ones that are hitting other areas. We know where they hang Albany. We know where they hang Springfield.
Okay.
So we keep an eye on them. The Venezuelan group is a big group. Venezuela is in a lot of trouble right now in that country.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that have left the country and they're coming here. So we keep an eye on it. Luckily, we haven't been hit too hard. It was really, I think it was the Tractor Supply. We just indicted those individuals from Venezuela. It came on in that these individuals are held, and we indicted them for hitting that Tractor Supply company. We recognize the gangs, the gangs, and we look for them. And again, we keep everything we do. We keep sort of files on all the stuff that all these people are coming in and stealing stuff, and then we cross-reference it with other offices. Now, I'm also in very close contact with the other 10 DA's offices in the state. There's 11 DA's in the state. I meet with them once a month, and they were down. Okay. Seven of them were down with me in D.C. last week.
And we had
a meeting yesterday. We'll have a meeting again next week. We're working on things together all the time. So, it's a sharing of information, and it's a sharing of information with law enforcement. It's also sharing information within our community with the stores and the banks.
Yeah.
And again, on top of that, the public. We need the public to help us as well. So I just really feel, and I said this in the beginning, I wouldn't have done this if I didn't feel optimistic that this is not an unrealistic goal. Like I said, it's a kid's place. Everybody said, when I did the Children's Advocacy Center, people said, you'll never get off the ground. It'll be operational 30 years this year. So I'm very proud of that. Same thing with what we're doing here. We can get things done. You can complain about it, and you can say, oh, this guy's no good, that guy's no good. You can make fun of me. You can do whatever you want, but I'm doing the job, and I'm making sure that we're coming through and we're prosecuting these cases. And, I'm going to get the job done, and we are getting the job done. And I'm telling you, it's making a big difference. The threats are coming down. The drugs are coming down. The guns are coming down. The shootings are stopping. At least so far, let's keep our, knock on wood. But it's a job we're doing. And the organized retail crime is coming along. And still, we're still dealing with child abuse cases. We're still dealing with rape cases. And the regular gamut of cases that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, the OUIs, because we are a rural community, we have so many cases that filter through this office. But again, I have a great staff, and when I say staff, it's not just lawyers; it's the victim advocates who work with the victims, who get them services. People don't realize when we've had deaths with individuals that we can help them out with burials and stuff like that. We're doing that. We don't talk about much, but we also have my staff within this office, the people that are the paralegals, the support staff, the ones that are getting the discovery ready, that are working every single day, and they work and they care about it. These people, they can go anywhere else. They care about their job and they care about what they do.
Yeah.
Like a well-oiled machine, nothing works right unless everybody's on clink. We're all working together. We're all in sync. So it's a little synchronicity. So everybody has a job to do. And when we win a case, I make sure everybody in the office is rewarded for it, that they all had a participation in it. They were all part of this win, whether you're the receptionist, or whether you're the person making copies, or whether you're the one that's actually trying the case. We are a team here, and we work as a team. And I think that's a key to success.
What I found, too, if I may, and like I said, I've been all over the world. What I think you've done here, I've seen done in very few places with success, is, and you've done it, and it is demonstrating itself to be successful with your raids, with your prosecutions, and that is you are building a holistic team within the criminal justice community, but within the entire community. I think now there's trust that if you have an issue and you are a witness, I think people today believe that you'll protect them.
Well, that's our job. That's our job. Our job is public safety and protection, and that's what I need to do. You know, I shop at Big Y on West Street every single week, probably three times a week. I see everybody there. I probably have the longest shopping experience anybody can possibly have because I talk to everybody in the store.
Pretty close.
You know, and for some reason, I've always done the shopping, so I tell my wife, maybe we should switch roles here because, but I enjoy going to the grocery store, but I do see the people, and I think they're happy to see me there, too.
Yes, they
know that, you know, I'm in an area that's in a marginalized community, and I'm there shopping with everybody else, and you know, these are my neighbors, these are my brothers and sisters, and I love being there, but, you know, I also let them know that they're safe, and we're safe. I walk North Street on weekends. You know, I think North Street is going to become more vibrant in the few years coming up. I think that there's a lot of growth that's going to happen here. I see a lot of positivity going forward. And one thing I realized when I was a kid in the Berkshires is that there was always this negativity, like, you can't get this done. You can't get the mall downtown. You can't get the bypasses. All these issues that came up. You remember in the 70s and the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
It was like everything was defeat us. We're not having that attitude.
No.
We're going forward. This train has left the station. We are moving forward. Positivity, optimism. Berkshire County is going to grow. It's going to be as beautiful as ever. And we're making it that way right now with the amount of growth that's happening. We're seeing businesses come on in. And so for my job being public safety, I feel I'm glad to be part of that growth. And I'm glad to be part of the optimism for you know, the things that we can do in this community. And again, this community, they give back a lot. There's so many individuals in the community that just give so much back. Businesses do, banks do, everybody does. They support our local kids. They support our sports teams. They support all that. This is what Berkshire County is all about. And so I want to make sure I'm giving that back as well.
Well, I think you are in so many ways that are unique to your district attorney's office, if I may say. I don't know the others. But certainly, I do want to go back to 1 minute to your wonderful witness.
Victim witness program, yeah.
Thank you. Years and years ago, they robbed, you might have been around, they robbed a Berkshire Bank out there in Coastal. It was the biggest robbery. And it was a robbery it was the Irish mob out of Boston.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anyhow, I worked a case with Dick Kenalton, and we had a hotel owner that housed them. They rented. He identified, but he was scared to death of them. You know, I mean, and God loved at that point Tony Roberto.
Oh yeah, Tony was great.
Was the great, and he had a great witness.
He did. I mean, look, they all became judges and whatnot. We modeled some of that after. I take a look at all the DAs, what they've done in the past.
Yeah.
Naked. And, you know, Tony came in at a tough time. It was the first DA in Berkshire County, really. That was the first time that it was no longer the Matty Ryan's regime anymore. It was now now Tony Roberto's, and he did a great job.
He built a great team.
Yeah,
and he personally brought the guy in, and the guy said, no, I don't want it. These people will kill you. And they were capable, no question about it, you know. They'd all heard serve time at Walpole and all that. And anyhow, long story short, Tony brought the guy in, sat down and said, and I can't remember the person, but most people who watch this show know I don't remember where the refrigerator is. So, but he so convinced that person that he would take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, Tony could be that way. And by God, The guy changed his tune and testified.
That's what you have to do. You got to get the public trust. You know, and that's what we're trying to do is build. You know, that's why when we have these events in the summertime, I'm at them all the time. I want to know that I'm here for you. I'm here to protect you. And so my team's here to protect you. It's
I'm here with my wife. What are you afraid? Right?
Yeah, exactly. I bring my wife everywhere we go.
I know. By the way, don't forget. By the way, folks, we are recording this on Valentine's Day. And I have to remember to remind both of us to not forget it's Valentine's Day, because if it's the case, we'll both be sleeping in his office.
I know both of us take very good care of our wives.
Yes, we do.
We are very lucky that we have two beautiful, intelligent wives. So, you know,
I wouldn't be where I am or where I've been if it wasn't for her. Just quickly on that, I've done a lot of research on the Venezuelan gang. It started in a prison. And they murdered a whole bunch of people in a riot, and they cut their heads off. So that's who you're dealing with there. So, they're nuts and tough people. But your initiative, I think, if I may say this, disagree. You're proactive. You're not reactive, and I mean that in a complimentary way.
Right. We're not waiting for stuff to happen. We're trying to get out there. We're going to identify what's out there, with the problem out there. And on top of that, we're also trying to be proactive to reduce and prevent crime. That's why I spent so much money invested in the schools and investing into education from my office, going into the schools and educating on, you know, bullying, educating on internet crimes, educating on, you know, about you know, sexual assaults over the phone, sexual assaults over social media. We're dealing with the kids on that basis, so we avoid this coming forward later. So preventive work is very important. And again, the addiction issue, we just have to keep tackling that. It's not an easy thing, but there's a lot of great mental health professionals. There's a lot of great medical professionals in this community that really do care about clients. And I'm just making sure that we're getting them the amount of clientele they can get and help them through this process and getting them to the help that they need. So again, it's a complicated job. It's not just, I don't take this job as just, we're going to prosecute cases and that's it. I don't do it that way.
We've got a holistic view. That's what
really
I
do.
Since day one when we met and we talked, I said, this guy is in a holistic view of fixing and punishing appropriately.
Exactly. Accountability, Bill. It's all about accountability. You know, accountability depends on what actions you take. But, you know, we all are accountable. We get up every morning, go to work. You know, we do what we have to do, you know, and, you know, we go pay our bills and we do all this stuff. Well, everybody, I'm going to hold people that are breaking the law, I'm going to hold them accountable, you know. And if it's because there's an issue, we're going to deal with that issue, or I'm going to hold you accountable for not dealing with that issue because we're giving you the tools to do it. So I want to continue to work with people to help them prevent crimes from happening and get people off narcotics and get people back to work or alcohol, as it may be, and also deal with the underlying root problem. What's the mental health issue? Why is there post-traumatic stress, for example? Is there some history of abuse in the past? We try to look at the underlying issue, deal with those individuals. But at the same time, too, I have to get rid of the criminal element that does exist out there. That's much different than the district court individuals, that are people, just good people, find themselves in a bad situation. And you know, we don't judge people. I don't even judge any of the people that are involved with the people that we arrest. I'm only looking at the facts of the cases, and if you break on the law and at this level with this amount of firearms, I'm going to hold you accountable. But if you're someone that's in the throes of addiction, we'd like to help you out, you know.
We got about 2 minutes. The what you've done is, you know, it's amazing. And in 2 years and 2 months, you first of all, you built a team, and you're building a team of just really qualified, good people.
Yeah. If we can, what we've accomplished in the last 2 years, if we can keep up this pace, we have a lot more we can do. I know we do. I have a vision, and I sort of, like I talked real fast, but my vision went fast for the first 2 years. This is what I had to do. First 6 months, get rid of drugs, attack it. Next bit, I dealt with a little bit of the summertime, was getting the patrols out in the streets. And then by September, I was dealing with organized retail crime. And then by January, I was dealing with the elder abuse and the frauds and the scams. And so, you know, we keep we're cycling through these agendas that I have, and now doing the trainings, doing the opioid summit last fall was great. Now I've got the organized retail crime summit coming, big conference at BCC in April 14th. So we've got stuff that's still coming down the pike that we are planning months in advance for. All this takes a lot of work, and my office is working for 60 individuals and 15 state troopers. We are working our tails off to make sure the public is safe. And I wish that people would thank the people who are doing it. They're working real hard.
They
could be out in practice, making so much more money. And they're doing this for the community because they care about the Berkshires. They care about the job. You know, I'm going nowhere else. This is not a stepping stone for me. This is my, you know, this is my career. This is what I've done. And this is what I want to do to make sure my community is safe and leave a lasting legacy and mark on our county.
You are doing, in my opinion, an outstanding job across the board in addressing issues, planning. You know, like we said, there's planning and then there's execution.
Right.
And sometimes you can plan, and when you go, there's a kerfuffle. And you and your team and you have been able to deal with those in an excellent, professional way.
I think there's talking, then there's planning, and then there's execution. Talking doesn't get you anything. Planning, execution, but you know, you hear people talk and then they don't follow through with the rest of it. People may have good ideas, but if you don't do and plan and do the hard work that it takes, it's hard work to plan and get this stuff executed and then actually execute it. That's where we get the results, and we're getting those results.
I go under this philosophy. You can talk all you want, but I'll judge on what you do.
Bingo.
Thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your wonderful wife. And I'll be in touch. And unless you create some more havoc this month, I'll have you back. Thank you so much. You are a good man. And we are fortunate in a community to have you and your whole team.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yep. Keep on.